Right, so we are holding on Mem Amud Aleph by the third Mishnah. Still talking about mumim of that allows you shech to b'chur. The Mishnah says, Nishver etim yodei ve'etim ragloi, if one of the bones in its foreleg or in its hind leg is broken, even though it's not recognizably broken, then it's still a mum. We'll see what that means in the Gemara, that's not recognizable. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Mumin elu mon ila v'yavne, ila, or actually the Lachas Shlomo says it's supposed to be ayala, whatever, listed these in Yavne. He might be the same ila or ayala that we had previously in the fourth parak, or was an expert, and they allowed him to charge a certain amount for checking each bechor. Anyway, he listed these Mumin in Yavne, in front of the Chachamim. Which Mumin do we mean? The pashtus, the two in our Mishnah, the ones that we just mentioned, if the bones of its foreleg or hind leg are broken, the Rashash wants to say maybe it means the ones in the whole perek. Anyway, v'hoidu lo chachamim, and the chachamim agreed with him that those are indeed mumim. V'oy gimel hoisif, but then he added another three, and omru lo, the chachamim there in Yavna told him, lo shamayinu ela eseilu, no, we only heard from our rabbeim the ones that we mentioned before.
Meaning,
in other words, so there's two ways of understanding. One is that they're telling him, we disagree with you. These next three that you're going to list are not mumim. The other possibility is they're not necessarily arguing. They're just saying, you should know, we didn't hear these from our rebbeim. Maybe they're mumim, maybe not. Okay, you know, you're a respectable guy. We hear what you're saying, but not, we didn't hear from our rebbeim that these are mumim, so I don't know where you got them from. Anyway, they're chachamim and Yavner, Leo, Rabbi Yeshua, whoever else, yeah. What are the three that he added? Number one, should galgal enay ogol kashel adam. If it's eyeball, or actually galgal enay, we'll see in the Gemara a few possibilities what it means. But literally, galgal enay means the circle of its eye. So does it mean the eyeball? Does it mean the iris? We'll talk about, does it mean the pupil? We'll talk about that. A few different possibilities. So if it is round like a person's, then that would be a mum. Number two, a piv doma kashel chazir. If the mouth of the animal resembles a pig's mouth, as we'll see in the Gemara exactly how. And number three, b'shenitol roiv hamadaber b'lashonoi, if most of the speaking part of its tongue is removed. The speaking part, obviously, animals don't speak. But we mean, in other words, in a human being, the part of the tongue that you speak with is the part that's not attached to the back or to the bottom of the mouth. The part that's loose and then can move. So therefore, the equivalent in an animal, if most of that is removed, then Ila or Ayala is saying that that's a mum as well. Well, so the basin at that time in Yavne told them, Lo Shamayinu Ela Eseilu, that we only heard these ones, not the three that you mentioned. In other words, again, either we disagree, we hold those are not mumim, or maybe they are, but we didn't hear from our Rebbeim. But Basin, Shalacharein Amru, the Basin, the following generation said, Hareza mum, they are indeed mumim, they accepted what Ila said. And those... Because they thought it over, they thought it over and decided that after all it is valid to consider these mumim. That's how it is. A Beis Din in one generation can revisit. You have certain things that not. You have certain things on which we say ein Beis Din yochel levat, ein Beis Din yochel levato give it a Beis Din chavera unless it's greater in chokhmah and in minyan. Sometimes we say that as far as zeres, as far as takanos, but as far as things like this, as far as determining what's considered a mumim, what's not. Each Beis Din has its own, each Beis Din of Smuchim, obviously, has its own authority, and they can decide, they can decide that something is a mumim even if a previous generation Beis Din did not. Okay. So, let's explain these mumim that we have in this Mishnah. First of all, we said if a bone in its foreleg or hind leg is broken, we said even if it's not nicker, even if it's not recognizable, it's a mum. What do you mean? Ain't a nicker means to have a mum. If it's not recognizable, how is it a mum? It's not mum ra. We established before it has to be a mum visible from the outside.
So you have, let's say, a broken leg.
Yeah.
And there's no external sign.
Yeah, let's say. I'm going to pop it. That's what it means. It means, ein a nicker, machmas atzmai, you wouldn't see it by itself. In other words, the break itself is not visible. Avol nicker machmas malacha. But you can tell it when the animal is trying to do malacha. For example, when it's trying to walk on this hind leg, which the what is the malacha of the hind leg is for it to be able to walk on it. So therefore, if it's walking funny, if it's limping when it's trying to walk on that leg, then that's considered a mum as well. That's what we mean, ain't a nicker. If in fact it's a break that has no effect at all, not it's not externally visible and it doesn't affect the animal's walking, you're right, that wouldn't be a mum. Okay. Then we said mumin elum.
Differentiate between a
fractulus
and a strain.
So that's the thing. So how would you tell? It's a good question. I don't know. I guess if the animal actually has a broken leg, it would walk, it would limp somewhat differently than it would if it just strained a muscle. I don't know. I guess you would wait and see what happens after a while. I don't know if it was a strain, then after a day or two, it would be back to normal. I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. Okay. We said mumin elumon of a whole. We said that Ila or Ayala listed these mumim, and the Chachamim agreed with him, and then he listed three more, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. And one of them was, the first one was, galgal ene ogo kashal adam. We said if the eye is round like a human being's eye. So what do you mean? The Gemara says, lememra delab hainu urchei. Do you mean that normally the eye of an animal is not round? Or do you mean, I have a contradiction, based on a Mishnah in Nida that says like this, if a woman miscarries a creature of a fetus that looks like a behemoth or a chaya or an oif, bein tmei and bein tehodin, whether they look like a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, so it's obviously it's a deformed baby, but what are the dinim as far as tumah v'tahara? Im zachar keshav l'zachar, it's still considered to be as if it was a human being as far as the dinim of tumas leida and yemei tahara. So if it's a male, im zachar keshav l'zachar, then she has the usual amount of tumah and tahara days as if she had given birth to a regular male. So 7 days of tumah and 33 days of yemei tahara. The im nekeva keshav l'nekeva, and if it's a female, then the amount of time for a regular female, 14 days of tumah, 66 days of tahara. Eina yadua, if you, a male is 7 and 33, and a female is 14 and 66. Yeah. Im eina yadua, if you don't know whether it was a male or a female, you can't tell from the genitals. Keshav l'zachar l'nekeva, divrei ha-meir. So the meir says in that case she has to do l'chumra for as if it was a boy and a girl combined. Meaning, in other words, she has 2 weeks of, she has 14 days of tumah, as if it was a girl, and then another 26 days of tahara to the end of 40 days, as if it had been a boy. And at the end of 40 days is if she bleeds any time after that. So she's sort of mixed, right? So any bleeding during the first 14 days, during the first 14 days, whether she bleed, she's considered nidya that entire time, even if there was no blood. The next 26 days after that, until the end of 40 days from the birth, is Dmei Tahara. Any bleeding, she's still Tahar, and then is Mutar to her husband. And after the 40 days, any bleeding that happens from then on, it's a Safek, from then until the end of 80 days, it's a Safek whether she's a Nidr or whether it's a Dmei Tahara.
Why 40 days instead of 3 days?
Because your total for a boy is 40 and total for a girl is 8.
Okay,
1 second. For a boy, you have 7 and 33. So she gives birth, let's say, to Shchodesh Nissan. So from a Shchodesh through the 7th of Nisan is the Yemei Tumah. She's Tomei as if she was a Nidah. The next 33 days after that, so from Ches Nisan through Yud Iyar, the next 33 days, even if she bleeds during that time, she's still Mutar to her husband. She's not considered a Nidah. Nowadays, we don't do that. We'll learn about that in the Sefer Nidah. That's a shame. But nowadays, we don't do that. But in principle, that is the Din Min HaTorah, that for those 33 days, she would be Tahar no matter how much she bleeds during that time. Now, if it was definitely a boy, then after those 40 days, we would say any bleeding after that, she's a nidur, a zava, as the case may be. Because in this case, the suffix, because maybe after all, this fetus was a female one, therefore between 40 and 80 days after the birth, then she's a suffix nidur, or suffix zava, if there's any bleeding during that time. Had it been a vadai female, then you'd have the same kind of thing. If she miscarried it on Rosh Chodesh Nissen, she'd have the 14 days of tumah from Aleph through your Dalet Nissen. Then she'd have 66 days of Dmei Tahara. Again, if she bleeds during that time, she's Tahara and Mutar to her husband. From then until, what do you have, until the 21st of Sivan, would be the end of 80 days from the Shchodesh Nisan. And then after that, she'd be back to regular Nida and Zava cycles.
So if she's a Yoledes, we still call her a Nida.
No, again, she has 7 days or 14 days during after the birth, during which she is Tomei as if she was a Nida, regardless whether there's bleeding or not. She's called the Yeledet. She's called the Yeledet, but she has the same dinim as a Nida. The next 33 or 66 days, she's not considered a Nida. She is allowed to, she is Mutar to her husband. She is even able to eat, If I remember correctly, she can eat Truma then. I'm not sure about that. She can't eat Kodshin until she finishes the 40 or 80 days and goes to the mikveh and brings her korban. Truma, I don't remember about. I think she can eat mice or shame yet, but she can't eat Truma. Don't remember that part for sure. Whatever it is, and then after that, she goes back to regular Nijan's other cycle. Over here, where it's a suffix, a boy or a girl, so therefore you have to combine the two, Lachumra. So you have 14 days of Truma, as if it was a girl, and then only another 26 days of Tara, as if it was a boy. Okay. The point is, Divrei Meir, V'amar Rav Abba Chana Amar Rav Yechanan, my time of Divrei Meir. Now, why does Rav Meir say that if she gave birth to something that looks like a behema, why should it be considered a real, why should it be considered a real lady? Why should it be considered as if it was a regular baby and have the same name? The reason is, however, Gaugal Einet, or Gufa Shaladim. Because an animal has a certain similarity to a human being in the shape of the eye. The shape of the eye is round like in a person. So therefore, in other words, there's a certain similarity. In that sense, therefore, this deformed baby still partially resembles a human baby. Therefore, it's considered a human baby according to Meir. The point is, we see from that an animal does have round eyes. So what are you telling me in our Mishnah that it's considered a mum? It does.
It's a deformed one. Isn't it?
Fine, but the point is, in other words, we're saying that a creature, a fetus that looks like an animal still also looks like a human being in the sense that the eyes of it look like the eyes of a human being. So what do we mean then, that we know in Mishnah, that if its eyes are round like a person, then it's a mum?
When you say the eyes...
That's what we have to figure out. One second. Oh, that's what we have to figure out. Rabbi Yosef, like Asha, Rabbi Yosef says it's not a contradiction. Hab uchma, hab chivra. One is talking about the uchma, which means the dark part of the eye, and the other one is talking about the chivra. Now, chivra, the gears that we have, which we have in front of us, chivra would mean the white part. So that is one way of understanding it, is that it means, in other words, that the dark part of the eye is the dark part of the eye is round in an animal as in a person, but the white is not. So that's one way of understanding it. Right. Well, that's what we're talking about from the outside. But on the side of it here, it mentions a different girsa, which actually Rashi has this girsa as well, not b'chivra, but rather b'tsiria, which means, and Rashi explains tsiria to mean the eye, apparently, the way Rashi understands it, is the eye socket. So in a human being, the eye sockets are round. In an animal, they're not. Yet another explanation that it brings on the side over here, the Oruch brings, and Rabbi Hananel also understands this way, is it means the line that surrounds the iris and separates it from the white. We talked about that line the other day. So the answer would be that in animals that's not necessarily round, whereas in human beings it is. So there's a variety of different explanations over here, and in fact in Rashi over here you have different gersoi. Is Rashi saying over here that the black part of the animal's eye is not round, whereas the white, where the socket or the white is, or is it the other way around? Rashi in Nida understands the other way around, that the black part is round and the white part is not round. So you have the different understandings of purity over here. So whatever it is, you have a few different possibilities where there's some part of the eye that is round in animals as in human beings, and in that sense we're saying in Nida, therefore, that in the case of this miscarriage of this deformed baby, it still has a certain resemblance to a human being, whereas on Mishnah is saying in some other aspect of the eye, whether it's talking about the shape of the white or of the socket or whatever. In fact, Steinsaltz points out, actually, when it comes to goats, at least, the pupil of the eye, the pupil of a goat's eye is not round. Most creatures have round pupils. A goat's is more like oval shaped, almost like halfway between a.
The socket or the
no, not the not the socket. The pupil of the eye, the black
oval.
And is kind of like halfway between an oval and rectangle in goats. So that's one possibility. We mean over here is, in other words, therefore, if a goat is born with a round pupil, then it would be a deformity. All right. Then we said in the Mishnah, Piv Doima Kashal Chazir, we said another mum that Ila listed is if the mouth of the animal looks like the mouth of a pig. Amar Apapa said, Apapa said, now when you consider it, a pig's mouth has two features about it. Two or three features about it that are different than kosher animals, depending on how you look at it. Number one, you have it's round in cross section. When you look at it from front, it's round. The snout of it is round, whereas with kosher animals, it's not. Number two, it comes more to a point from the sides of the face. It narrows towards the front. whereas kosher animals, oh, it narrows a bit, but not quite as much. It's more or less
flat.
It's flat in front also, fine. And also another difference is that the upper lip of the pig extends out over the lower lip. I don't suppose we can find pictures, but and also Rabbeinu Gershom points out another thing is that the lower lip, or maybe both lips, whatever, of the pig are turned a little bit upward. So now we're going to mention in our Gemara over here different things that you have that the animal is deformed and partially looks like a pig. So we have to figure out in what sense is it looking like that. So you can see very clearly in these pictures it's more or less round in cross section. You don't have, I guess, in these pictures, you don't really see, because we don't have good pictures from the side. I guess I'd have to look for other pictures to see that it sort of comes to a point from the sides over there. And you can sort of see it over here, where like it narrows towards the front. And the upper lip extends out over the lower lip. Mm-hmm. And the whole, the upper lip extends out over the lower lip. And the whole thing is turned up a little bit. So Amar Papa, Loi Tema de Shofer du Parus. Don't think when we say in our Mishnah that if the animal's mouth, if its snout resembles a pig, that it has to be completely like a pig, namely de Shofer, namely that it's round, like a shvud, like a spit, and uparis, and that the upper lip overlaps over the lower lips. That only if it has both those things would it be considered a mum. Ella, no, it's enough. Given the porus afagabdele shofid, even if it's only the one thing that the upper lip extends out over the lower lip, even if it's not rounded like the snout of a pig, then it's still considered a mum. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi brings from his teacher the other way around. Shofid means shofid doesn't mean that it's round in cross section. It means that it comes more to a point as it goes towards the front. So it doesn't mean that it has to be that and porous. It's enough if it's just porous that the upper lip hangs up. Yeah, so it doesn't even have to be it doesn't have to be like a pyramid. It just has to be that the upper lip overhangs over the lower lip. That would be enough to be considered a mum. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, porous means that the lips are turned up a little bit. So then that would be another explanation. If the lips, even if it's not round, even if it's not pointy and whatever, the fact that it turns up would be considered a mum. Then we said, if most of the loose part of the tongue is missing, most of the part of the tongue that a human being would speak with, then we're considering it a mum. So the Gemara says, who is our Mishnah like? It's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Titania. The Eschenito Roiv Haloshen, that the Chachamim say that only if most of the tongue as a whole is missing, then it would be considered a mum. Rabbi Yehuda would say, actually, this is not in connection with mumim of animals. This is in connection with when we know that if a master damages one of the rosh eivorim of an eved kanani, then the eved kanani goes free. So how much in the case of the tongue does it have to be is missing for that purpose? So the chachamim say only if roiv halosh, and only if most of the tongue as a whole is missing. Rabbi Yehuda says most of the movable part of the tongue is missing. So therefore, but here also, he would be the one whose version of what Ilo said is that if most of the movable part of the tongue is enough for it to be considered a mum. Then the Mishnah continues. One time it happened with an animal, with a bechor, that the low. Now before we were talking about in the case of a chazir, if its mouth looks like a chazir, that one explanation we said poris, we said is that the upper lip overlaps over the lower lip. So now the other way around. It happened once with a bechor that the lower jaw extended outward more than the upper jaw.
The jaw, we're talking about.
Yeah.
The lechi is the jaw.
The shor Ram Gamliel lachachamim. So Ram Gamliel asked the chachamim, or shittim ukubetes, and I go to back change it to Shim and Gamliel, as we're going to have in the Gemara. So they asked the chachamim, the amru, and they said, "Hareza mum, that is also considered a mum." So the Gemara asks.
Or either way.
Right. Well, so that's the Gemara asks. My Tana de Katani Umaisa. What did we previously learn, similar to this, that we're saying, and it once happened that the lower lip, et cetera, that the lower jaw, yeah. So like this, Mishum Tanan, because we just said in the previous Mishnah, Piv Domel Chazir, we said that if the animal's mouth resembles the mouth of a Chazir, we said that Ila holds that it's a mum. We said the Chachamim and Yavne held that it's not. Only based in Shalach Reim, the later based in, said that it is. Or Pligir Rabbanan Aleh Derebi, or Derebi Ila, actually, it's supposed to be. So the Chachamim disagreed with Rabbi Ila, and they said that's not considered a mum. But the Kamrinim, so now our Mishnah is saying, Ki Pligir Rabbanan Aleh Derebi, when are the Chachamim disagreeing with Rebbe or Ila? They're arguing with Tfasa, Oh Yona, O Defet Ala Sakhtayna. Only if the upper lip extends out further than the lower lip, then they're saying that's not considered a mum. Ila held it's a mum, and the based in Shalach Reim also held back the Chachamim that Ila was talking with did not consider that to be a mum. When the upper lip, if the upper lip extends out further than the lower lip, then it's not a mum, they're saying. But it's the other way around. If the lower lip extends out further than the upper lip, then the Chachamim would agree that it is a mum. And therefore, our Mishnah says, Umay Sanami, and indeed it once happened with such a case, that the lower jaw or the lower lip, as we'll see in a second, extended outward further than the upper one. And they said it's a mum. So Ela would hold at the mum either way, if either lip extends out further than the other one, and the Chachamim, who disagreed with him, would say only the lower one. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Vahagabi Odom who ditznan. Now what about though? The problem with that is the next parak, after we finish with our parak, where we're learning all the mumim that apply to animals, the next parak is going to start talking about the mumim that apply specifically to people, namely Kohanim. So we have many of the mumim in our parak can apply to human beings as well, and whichever ones are relevant to human beings apply to them also. But we also are going to have in the next parak a bunch more. We're going to have like 90 more that apply only to human beings. So, well, that's not relevant. If a Yisrael or a Levi has a mum, it doesn't really matter. But there is actually one thing the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, that when it comes to the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, if a man marries a woman and then he discovers she has one of these mumim where he didn't have any way of knowing beforehand, then he can argue that it was Mekach Toth and he wouldn't have married her had he known that, and therefore he has grounds to divorce her without a Ksubas. If she has one of these mumim.
Yeah.
That's, we say over there, that women aren't as picky about getting in, so yeah. Okay.
But
otherwise, it's basically just fighting.
So the
claim
is just
for Okay. So in the next parak we learned, we say over there that if the lower lip extends out further than, if the upper lip extends out further than the lower lip, or the other way around, the lower lip extends further than the upper lip, then it's considered a mum. But gabe odam, that would only be specifically by a person, by a kohen. Just give ish mizera Aaron, because the pasuk says any person among the descendants of Aaron, and we learn from that it means we're going to learn this over and over in the next parak. Ish sheshava bezare shel Aaron, that was koyanim. It has to be, he has to be similar in appearance to other people, to other descendants of Aaron. So therefore, most people usually have their upper and lower lip meet together, and therefore, if either one extends out further than the other, then he's not shava bezare shel Aaron. Fine, obviously we all know Kohanim who have deformities. The point is most Kohanim do not. Right. Most Kohanim have their lips meet together. Most Kohanim have a normal-shaped head, they have normal-shaped ears, et cetera, all the different things we're going to learn in the next parak. So the point is, by people, you have a specific thing that has to be, not only they can't have a mum, but they also have to be shava bezare shel Aaron. Avo bebehem aloy. But by animals, you don't have that. It's either a mum or it's not. So why are we saying that? Why are we saying that if the lower lip is sticking out, it should be a mum? What's so bad about that?
What should we say?
We should say it's not a mum. It's not a mum unless it's an actual deformity. If the lower lip is a little looser and therefore extends out a little further than the upper lip, big deal. Why is that a mum?
But if it has to look like Aaron.
Yeah, because that's by people. But we're saying by animals, not.
No,
we don't mean no. Sheshavav is Zare Shalaron. They look like most people of Zare Shalaron. Most Zare Shalaron have normal shaped lips, have normal shaped head, normal shaped head. Yeah. So again, by an animal, why should it be considered a mum if the lower lip extends out further than the upper lip?
Not by
it. Yeah, because by animals, you don't need Sheshavav Zare, yeah. The answer is Amar Papa, like Kasha, Hod the Is Bo Esem, Hod the Les Bo Esem. There's no contradiction. One is talking about where there's a bone. In other words, our Mishnah, when it says that at the mum, if the lower lip sticks out, we don't just mean the lower lip, we mean the lower jaw. The actual jaw sticks out further than the upper jaw. That would be considered a mum even by an animal. As opposed to Hod the Les Bo Esem, as opposed to when we say it's a mum specifically by a human being, that would be even if the actual jawbone is the normal size, but the lip itself sticks out further than it should.
So how much further?
I don't know. I guess if it's noticeably larger, I don't know. But, yeah, I guess. I mean, you don't have to. You know, as we're going to say later on, you have, for example, you don't have to measure these things necessarily. You don't sit and measure. No, if you just see, yeah. So that's what it is. If the actual lower jaw is larger, then it's a mum either by an animal or by a person. If the lower jaw is the right size and just the lip is sticking out further, by an animal it's not a mum. By a person it's a mum, but not so much because it's a mum, but because it's ain't a shava bizarre shalaren, but it doesn't look like the average member of the average person. Okay. Mishnah says, Oizen akdi hoisa kfula. Suppose you have the ear of a goat is doubled. Now, the point is, it's not only a goat, but by goats have long, floppy ears, so it's much more likely to have this kind of thing where it's folded over and it looks like two ears. So what's the din? Amru chachamim, bizman shu etzem echad mum, if it is one etzem, and etzem over here, the ear doesn't have bones in it, or the outer ear doesn't have bones in it, just cartilage, but that's still okay. We mean, by etzem, we mean the cartilage, in other words. If there's one cartilage in it, then it's a mum, which means Rashi explains there's only one cartilage, but now it's folded over and it's attached down at the bottom where it shouldn't be attached to the head. So now it looks like a double ear. Then it's considered a mum. Bizman she'ein b'yesem, as opposed to if there's no bone in it, or actually it says on the side it's really supposed to be v'im eina, and this is how Rashi has it, v'im eina etzem echad, if it's not one bone, meaning Rashi says if it actually has two cartilages, eina mum, then it's not considered a mum. Now Rashi says, I don't understand why not. If it has two cartilages, why shouldn't it be a mum? Why should it be a mum? Why should it be a mum if it has two cartilages? Now, Rashi, okay, says that's fine. I mean, you could say it's different than having an extra leg. You could say because an extra leg is very noticeable here where you have, let's say, a doubled ear, it doesn't look so noticeable. But still, Rashi is not sure why if it has one cartilage and then it's folded over and then pinned down, let's say it should be considered a mum. But if you have two separate cartilages and it was two separate...
Like that?
Yeah, I guess like you have two separate ears. Like, so why should that not be considered a mum? So Rashi says, I don't understand why. The Rambam seems to have the girsa the other way around. The Rambam says the other way around. If it's actually one cartilage, or actually the Rambam may understand SM in the sense of one entity. If it's one ear and it just looks like it's folded and over and floppy, then it's not a mum. But if you have actually two separate, or if it's divided into two cartilages or two ears or whatever, then it would be a mum. Okay. Another case, Rab Chananya ben Gamliel, Znavak Dishu Doimel L'Shol Chazir. Here's another one that would be considered a mum, says Rab Chananya ben Gamliel. If the tail of a goat, which is a bachor, or any other korban, resembles the tail of a pig, as we'll see in the Gemara in what way it resembles it. Also, if it doesn't have at least three vertebrae in the tail. So it's too short, in other words. Also, hareza mum, then also it would be considered a mum.
We mentioned before if
there's too much space between one vertebrae and the next. Or we said if one of the vertebrae had something missing, had a piece missing from it. Here we're saying if the tail as a whole is less than three vertebrae long, then he says that would be considered a mum. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, first of all, we learn in a braisa more details. Piv balum. If the mouth of the animal is balum, and we'll explain in a second what balum means, the raglav mevulamos, or its feet, the bottoms of its feet are mevulamos,
right.
Then it depends. Machmas haruach or harevach einemum. If it's because of the revach would mean the space. The ruach would be air, ein a mum, then it's not a mum. Machmas ha'etem, if it's because of the bone, hareza mum, then it would be a mum. Now, what do we mean by all this? So Rashi gives two explanations. First explanation is that balum means shorter than normal. So therefore, in the case of the mouth, it would be like this. You have two possibilities. One is that One is that just that it has a small mouth. Volum. No, so that Rashi defines, but Rashi's first definition of volum is kosher, short. So in other words, you can have it has a smaller mouth than normal. So just the whole thing is smaller than normal. Apparently, is how Rashi understands it. The bones are smaller. The flesh is smaller. Whatever. Then that wouldn't be considered a mum. That would be machmasa reva. Just there's not enough room over there. Fine. That wouldn't be a mum. Machmasa esem would mean, Rashi explains, that it's able to open its lips very wide, but it's not able to open its jaws wide. Which could be, I guess, could be because of tetanus. It could be because jaws are locked in place. Whatever it is, so that would be considered a mum. So that's one.
A small mouth
in and of itself is not a mum. That would be machmas harevach. That there's just not enough space, but a small opening where it can't open it all the way would be considered a mum. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then, as far as the feet, it would be similar. What do we mean by machmas haruach or harevach versus machmas haesem? Would be like this. If you have the feet of it are very narrow, if it's machmas harevach, if it's just that everything there is small, the bones are narrower than usual, the flesh around them. No, that's just the width of it. Yeah, the width of the foot is narrower than normal. So let's say the bone and the flesh around it and all are all narrower than normal. That would be machmas harevach. So then that's not considered a mum. But if machmas haesem, namely that Rashi defines that the bone is unusually small, and then you have that the flesh is sticking out around it where it shouldn't be, then it would be considered a mum. That's all the first explanation of Rashi. Then Rashi brings a difference, a whole different explanation of what bolum means. The first explanation is that bolum means shorter or narrower than usual. The second explanation is that bolum means swollen. So then what we mean is swollen. So in the case of the mouth or in the case of the feet, what it would mean is if it's machmas haruach, that there's air trapped in there, basically. There's air trapped in there that caused it to swell up, then that wouldn't be considered a mum, because eventually the air will get out and it'll heal. But if it's machmas haesem, if it's because the bones are unusually large and therefore the mouth looks swollen, then it would be considered a mum. So that's Rashi's second explanation, is that bolum means swollen.
Just the opposite of small.
Sort of the opposite of small, yeah, that it looks, yeah. Okay. Tosfos also mentioned that, Tosfos mentions the fact is the word bolum can have both of these meanings, and in particular the word bolum we find in some places in Shas, the word bolum means like sealed, so that kind of fits better with the first one where like the mouth won't open all the way or whatever. Anyway, so that's the difference with machmas haruach versus machmas haesem. Another one, oznav kfulos, continues the braita, if the ears look doubled, like we had in our Mishnah, then it depends. B'chaskosos achas harez a mum. If it's all one cartilage, then it would be a mum. B'shtei chaschis and a mum. If it has two cartilages, it wouldn't be a mum. So again, that's the gears that we have in front of us in the Mishnah as well, which Rashi understands it to mean, like we said, that if it has only one cartilage and then it's folded down, like pinned in place where it shouldn't be, then it would be a mum. And if it has two separate
folded
and then like attached to the head, someplace else other than the normal place where it should be attached,
right,
then it would be considered a mum. Whereas if you have two separate cartilages, then it would not. And Rashi says, I don't really understand why that would be that way. The Rambam again has the gears to the other way around, that if it's one cartilage and it's just folded over, then it's not a mum. If it's two cartilages, then it is. Okay, fine.
So that's
the halacha. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah that Rav Hanani ben Gamliel Omer. Over here it says Rav Gamliel Omer. It's supposed to be Rav Hanani ben Gamliel Omer. Znava gishol doma l'shul chazir. We said if the tail of a goat looks like the tail of a pig, then it's considered a mum. Amina Papa. So Rav Papa says, now again, we have to consider, when we consider the difference between the tail of a goat or any other kosher animal versus the tail of a pig, again, there's a few differences. One is that a pig's tail is round in cross section, whereas the tails of kosher animals are usually wider than their foot. They're more flattened, right? Another point is also that a pig's tail is usually is usually softer. It's usually softer, whereas a kosher animal's one is somewhat harder. It's somewhat harder and somewhat stiffer. And also, a pig's tail is clearly at a kosher animal's is not. So again, which one do we mean? So I'm going to pop a loy tema diktina. Don't think that when we say that it looks like a pig's tail, it means it's very, very thin, like a pig's tail usually is. Ela dekricha, rather, it's enough for it to be considered a mum, even if it's kricha afagav da'alima, even if it's thick. Kricha, Rashi understands, means round in cross section. Because again, a sheep's tail or a goat's tail is usually flattened. So here, if it's round in cross section, even though it's thick, then that's already considered a mum, because in that sense, it's like a pig's tail. And then you have other gersois and other explanations. The Rambam, for example, understands that he uses the expression from like rach or medoldo, like soft and hanging and hanging loose. In other words, so he understands the word is not kricha, but rather rakicha, which means soft. A pig's tail is usually soft. A kosher animal's tail is stiffer. So then Rapapa would be saying, if it's soft, even though it's thick, then it would be considered a mum. And another explanation is that it means curly. Okay, whatever it is. So even if it's only like a pig's tail in one of these things, then it's considered a mum.
Either curly or soft.
Curly, soft, or round.
Or round.
We said also that Hanani ben Gamliel says if the tail doesn't have at least three vertebrae in it. So, Amar of Huna, Big D, when it comes to a goat, Shtayim hareza mum, if it only has two vertebrae in the tail, then it's considered a mum. Shalosh ain't a mum, but if it has three or more, then it's not a mum. Betleh, with a sheep, which normally has a longer tail, shalosh harei ze mum, if it only has three, then that would be a mum. Arba ein mum, once it has four or more, then it's not a mum.
So two versus three
for a goat, three versus four for a sheep. It wasn't nice to me. I have a contradiction. A braisa says, big D, achat harei ze mum, shtayim ein mum, by a goat, if there's only one vertebra in the tail, then it's a mum, but if there are two or more, then it's not a mum. Bitlesh, shtayim is a mum, shalosh ein mum. By a sheep, two is a mum, three is not. So not the opposite, but one less than Rav Huna is saying. Rav Huna is saying two and three and four, and the Braisa is saying one and two and three. So you have a contradiction. So that's a contradiction on Rav Huna. So how did Rav Huna get his opinion? Rav Huna, masnisin at ise. What happened was he learned on Mishnah and was misled by the wording in the Mishnah. He thought since earlier, since the last thing before that in the Mishnah, of Hanani ben Gamliel had been talking about the tail of a goat, if it resembles the tail of a pig, then it's a mum. So he thought, therefore, Sefer Nami Bigdi, so the Ein Basholosh Cholias, he thought, also refers to a goat, the Lohi, but actually the Braisa tells us, not like that, Resha Bigdi, but Sefer Bifleth. First it's talking about a goat, then it shifts and it's talking about a sheep.
And in the
ratio. So in the ratio, when we said Znabagdish or Dermal Shochazir, that's talking about a goat. But then it switches and starts talking about a sheep. When it says Veshein Vashalash Choyas, that's referring to a sheep. By a goat, even if it only has two, then it would be okay. It wouldn't be considered a mum.
So the halacha is
if a goat has at least two or a sheep has at least three, then it's not a baal. If a goat has only one or the sheep has only two, then it is a mum.
And more than three? Or
more than
three.
Then that's obviously good.
No.
There's no particular limit to the length of tail. Fine. Next, the Mishnah continues. Rav Chanina ben Antigna. So, Rav Chanina ben Antigna says, I have more mumim that we can list. Number one, eschiabelus be'enav. Number one, if it has a wart or a growth in its eye, and we'll see in the Gemara exactly where in the eye this growth is located. Or v'shenifkam etem yodiv eragloi. If there's a visible nick in the bones of its foreleg or hind leg. So before we talked about a break. Here we're talking about it's not actually broken, but there's a nick in the bone.
What's the difference?
The difference is a break would be all the way through, and a nick would be like you have a chip of it chipped off. Another one would be if the jawbone is dislocated, then that would be a mum. There's a different gear side on the side of it here. Shemnif sack if the jawbone is broken. If it has one large and one small eye, he says that would be a mum also. Also, osno echad gdol of achas kana. Also, if it has one big ear and one small ear. the mare avaloba mida, and that would apply only if you can visibly see at first glance that one is bigger than the other, not if you actually have to measure them. If you measure and you find that one is a millimeter larger than the other, that's not a moon. But if you visibly see that one is larger than the other, then that would be a moon. Rabbi Yehuda says, here's another one. Stay baked of, if you have the two testicles of the animal, if one of them is twice as big as the other one, then that would be a mum. The Chachamim disagreed with him, with Rabbi Yehuda, and said that's not considered a mum. Even if one is twice as big as the other one. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Lememra diabelas have mum. Are you telling me, we said the first thing in the Mishnah we said is Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus says if the animal has a wart in its eye, so are you telling me that
a wart?
Yeah, a wart, yeah. So we'll see in the Gemara, though, that it may not be exactly what we call nowadays a wart. Basically, I guess you can think of it more as like a growth.
Yeah. Okay.
So the memra diabelis havi mumma, are you telling me that a wart would be considered a mum or a minu? We have a contradiction. Later on, on Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph, a couple of Mishnayos further, we have a list. The following things are not considered a full-fledged mum, and you cannot shecht the bechur. You cannot shecht the bechur on them. Not in the Bet Mikdash. You can't bring it as a korban, and not the Medina. You can't shecht it outside the Bet Mikdash because it's not considered a bal mum.
The Medina means
anywhere. There are some places in Shas where the Rambam understands Mikdash as being the whole Yerushalayim,
right,
and Medina meaning the whole rest of the country. Over here, necessarily, Mikdash has to be the Beis Mikdash, and Medina would be everywhere else, because you can't check
the
Korbanos anywhere outside the Beis Mikdash.
So
not Yerushalayim and the rest of the country, but the Beis Mikdash, the Azara versus the rest of the country. Okay, if the animal has any of the following conditions, which are going to be listed in Mishnah and Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph, then you can't bring it as a korban on the one hand, but you also, it's not considered a mum to shecht it outside the Beis Mikdash, and among them are Baal Gorov or Baal Yabelis. If the animal has Gorov or Yabelis, so Gorov is a type of skin condition, which we'll discuss more on Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph, and Yabelis is a wart or whatever. So you see that a wart is not really considered a mum. So what are you telling me that if it has a wart in its eye, it's considered a mum?
Yabelis is
a wart.
We mentioned.
Yeah, that we just said in the Mishnah. So the question is, what do you mean? Gemara says, "Tisbara." What are you thinking? You the Makshin, when you're saying, how could Yabelis be a mum? What do you mean? Haksiva Yabelis Bahraisa. That's one of the mum. It actually lists in the Pasuk.
It is in the Pasuk.
Yeah, Oigorov or Yalefis. So Yabelis actually it mentions by people. It mentions mumim of people, and it mentions if he has a Yabelis. Yeah. Ella loikasha. So obviously there's no contradiction. Haba gufay haba einay. One is talking about if it has a wart somewhere else on its body. The other one is talking about where it has in its eye. So if it has a wart elsewhere on its body, it's not a mum. Or the Mishnah is saying, Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus is saying, if it has a wart in its eye, then it would be a mum.
Where do we see the duplication?
Well, because we have our Mishnah mentioned Yabelis Be'enov, but later on we have that if it has a Yabelis, then it's not considered a mum as far as shechting it. So therefore, so obviously one must be in the rest of the body, and the other one must be in the eye. The Gemara says, Mechti, cross stomach. What do you mean? After all, the Pasuk just says Yabelis without specifying where the wart is. Mali Be'gufoy, Mali Be'enov. So why should I care whether it's somewhere else on the body or whether it's on the eye? A wart is a wart. Either way, it should be considered a Balmum. Ella loikasha, so no, we have to answer differently.
Many animals are
mumim. Fine, okay. Ella loikasha, so no, rather we can say in a different way, there's no contradiction. Ha de isba esem, ha de lesba esem. When is it considered a mum if the wart has a bone in it? Meaning, and that's why I'm saying that it doesn't necessarily mean what we would nowadays call a wart. It might be something more like some other kind of growth, or it might be like a callus or something.
Yeah, the
Well, for example, on the feet. You can have, for example, bones stick out where they shouldn't on the feet, and a callus develops over there. Okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is, so if it has a bone in it, then it would be considered a mum. But if it doesn't have a bone in it, then that's what the Mishnah is saying later on the Malach, so it's not considered a mum. Well, wait. So therefore the Yabelis in the Pasuk where it's telling us is a mum means where it has a bone in it. Masnis in the last breath in the Mishnah later on that mentions that Yabelis is not a valid mum to shech the bechur for, we'll be talking about where it doesn't have a bone. The Einoi have a mumma, And furthermore, we could also distinguish that if the wart is in the eye, that if the wart is in the eye, even though obviously there it doesn't have a bone in it, then it's also considered a mum. But gufa, like have a mumma. Dekra de isba esem. So the one in the pasuk is talking about it has a bone. B'masnisin de lesba esem. The yabelos in the Mishnah is talking about there's no bone in it. So then within that, we have to distinguish. Be'enoi have a mumma. If you have a wart even without a bone in it, but it's in the eye, then that would be considered a mumma. Be'gufa, like have a mumma. But if you have a wart without a bone in it somewhere else on the body, then that's what the later Mishnah is saying, it wouldn't be a mumma.
And in the eye, if there's a bone?
There's no bone in the eye.
It could grow.
No, we're not talking about that. Obviously, if it had a bone, then it would be a mum. But we're saying even though in the eye usually wouldn't have a bone, nevertheless, the Mishnah would be telling us a wart in the eye is significant enough to be considered a mum. Okay. So the question is, the less for etzim begufa psula. So then in that case, why, if it has a wart elsewhere on the body that doesn't have a bone in it, why would it be possible to bring as a korban have a tilto ba'almahu? Isn't it just basically loose flesh that's hanging? That's not a mum. That's not even something that's possible to korban. The tshnan, the tanya, really, it's a braisa. Rabbi Yezo, I'm a bale atululin, atululin, really, it's a psulin ba'adim okshayim ba'behema. If you have there's loose flesh hanging off, so by a person they'd be possible for the avodah, because again it's ainah shalav bezareh shel Aaron, they don't look like a regular member of the descendants of Aaron, but ukshen behavior, but such a thing would be kosher by an animal. So what do you mean that if there's a wart elsewhere on the body without a bone in it, it would be possible as a korban? Why should it be possible as a korban? Ela idi va'ini be'ena. So we have to go back and say that both cases can't be possible because we just said that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, and we don't find anybody arguing with him, that if a creature has a tiltul, has loose flesh hanging, like a wattle, it's called a wattle in English.
That's
the behema, yeah. No, so we said, it's kosher by an animal as a carbon. So how would the Mishnah later on be saying it's possible as a carbon? Ela no. Idi va'ini be'ena. Both cases. The both Mishnayos, our Mishnah and the later Mishnah, are both talking about a wart in the eye, the like kasha, and without a bone in it, the like kasha hava shachar hava lavan. But there's still no contradiction because one is talking about a wart in the black part of the eye, and the other one is talking about a wart in the white part of the eye. So a wart in the black part would be a growth, whatever, in the black part would be considered a mum. A growth in the white part would not. So the question is, v'ha ein mumin b'lavan. We established before that there's no mumin. Yeah, we said there's no mumin in the white in the white part.
Right.
So why should it be possible as a korban? No. So we have to answer ella idi v'idi b'lavan. No, we have to say that both of them then are talking about in the white part of the eye. V'amar Reish Lakish loy kasha. So Reish Lakish says there's still no contradiction. Hadi is baseir, hadi less baseir. It depends whether there's hair in this wart or not. If there's no hair in it,
so that's a wart in the white.
So a wart in the white of the eye. If there's no hair on it, then it's not considered a mum, and you could then it's not considered a mum, and it's not considered a mum gomer. However, it's still not something that you can shecht it as a korban. It's still disgusting. So Rashi learns over here that Rashi learns over here like this. What it means is, the later Mishnah is talking about where you have a wart with hair in the white part of the eye. So therefore, it's megunahu, it's disgusting. So it's not considered a full-fledged mum. However, you can't shech the animal because of it. Our Mishnah, which is saying that it's considered a mum, we'd be talking about it's in the black part of the eye. That's how Rashi learns.
So
that's the point. In other words, we knew before we had various things. If you have white streaks or white spots or whatever in the black of the eye, now we're saying also if you have a wart there.
But we just learned that, but if you have a wart in the black of the eye, it's always
that. No, but now we're saying that. Now, we didn't say that before. We're trying to say that one's talking about black, one's talking about white, but a woman beloved.
Exactly.
So therefore, the answer is that Idi v'idi b'lovan. Both of them are talking about in the white. Or actually, Rashi's view says Idi v'idi b'ayin. Both of them are in the eye. Rashi does say b'lovan. When we say b'lovan. B'lovan, just like we have it in the Gemara over here. Tosfos has a gears of a shofar. We'll talk about that in a second. So Rashi is saying like this. When you have, if there's hair in it, then if we're saying that it has hair in it, so in other words, there are three possibilities. You have a wart in the black, you have a wart in the white with hair, or you have a wart in the white without hair. If it's got hair, then if it's in the white and it has hair, that's when the Mishnah later on is saying it's not considered a mum. However, you can't bring it to the korban because it's disgusting. When do we say ein mum in belavon is if you have a wart without hair in it in the white, then it's not considered a mum at all, and you could even shecht it as a korban. And what is our Mishnah saying? When it's saying if there's a wart in the eye, meaning it's in the black part. Yeah.
But so what is the meaning then? But in the white, there's no mum.
So that's what Rashi said. If there's hair in it, we still don't consider it a full-fledged mum, but it's still disgusting, and you can't bring it to the korban. If there's no hair in it, then it's not even considered a mum, and you could actually bring it to the korban.
So with the hair, it is
considered
a mum or not?
So another, okay, so if with hair, it's not a mum, but it is disgusting. It is maguna.
So neither of them
would be a mum, but one of them allows you to bring it to the korban, and the other one disallows it to the korban. That's how Rashi is. Tosfos has a gears over here, Ivy the Shocher, that both of them are talking about in the black part of the eye, and there'd be a distinction whether it has hair or not. The Rambam has yet another understanding that what we mean is if there's a wart with hair in it, even if it's in the white of the eye, that is an exception to the rule in mum in belavon, and that is considered a full fledged mum. Not only you can't bring it to the korban, but you could even shech the bechor is a bal mum.
Okay.
If there's a wart in the white without hair in it, then you can't bring it as a korban, but it's not considered a bal mum.
So according to Rambam, a wart with a hair in white is a bal
mum. Is a full fledged bal mum, and also if it's in the black, it would be a full fledged bal mum.
What did he mean? Of this rule that there's no...
So he would say that's an exception. You usually would say in mum and belavon, but where it has hair in it, then it's unusually repulsive, and then therefore it's considered a mum. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, we said if one eye is larger and one eye is smaller, then Rechanan ibn Antigonus said that it's considered a mum. Tana, we learn in a braisa, G'doyla k'shel egel. When we say large, it means the size of a cat's eye. And katana, when we say a small eye, means kishel avos, means the size of a goose's eye. Now, do we mean by that? Here you have Rashi in a few places in our Masechta, including all the way back at the beginning on Gimel Amud Beis, explain that it doesn't mean that both eyes are the wrong size. It means that even if only one of them is the wrong size,
as opposed to
when we say over here. Achas gedolah k'shal ego, k'tana k'shal avos, so Rashi understands in a number of places in our Masechta, doesn't mean that both eyes have to be the wrong size. If you have one eye is normal for this kind of animal, and the other one is unusually large or unusually small, then it would be considered a mum. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to understand that it means that it has to be both. It wouldn't be a mum if only one eye is the wrong size. It would have to be that both. One is extra large and the other one is extra small.
Otherwise,
not a mum.
The halacha is
the halacha. Okay, the Sfasemis wants to say maybe it's not such a machloikas, because after all, if we're talking about over here the size of a calf's eye is normally going to be the size of a calf's eye. So therefore, okay. Fine. Then we said, Ozne achas gdola chola. We said if one ear is larger than the other. And then we said at the end of the Mishnah, We said that Rabbi Yehuda says if one testicle is twice as large as the other, then it's a mum, and the Chachamim disagree with it. So the question is, Rabbanan ad kama, so the Rabbanan, who don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda on that, do they hold that there's any limit how much larger one can be than the other, where at some point it would be considered a mum?
Rabbanan, what do they hold?
Again, we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says if one of them is at least twice as big as the other, then it's a mum. And the Chachamim disagreed. So is there any limit? Would the Chachamim say three times larger, four times larger? Is there any limit? So Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Acheir Amayim, Afilu Eino L'Shnia El Kapoil, even if the second one is only the size of a small bean, Kshera, then it would still be kosher. It's not considered a Baal Mum. So in other words, according to the Chachamim, there's no limit. Really. As long as both of them are present, even if one of them is much, much smaller than the other, then it wouldn't be considered a Mum. With that said, by the way, the Rambam understands this discussion over here to be not in connection with the testicles, but rather about the ears. That if the ears are significantly different in size, then it would be considered a mum. Yeah, what he says over here, either you have two places where the Rambam lists this. One is one is in connection with people. One is in connection with animals. So he says over here that so if the two ears are here, let's actually see. 1 second. Here in Isurim is Beach. You have here Beis Halacha Beis. No, so he says actually not. He says if the ears are different in size, even if he learns, in other words, that the Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, not about the testicles, but about the ears, even if one of them is much larger than the other one, even if one of them is only the size of a bean and the other one is much larger, it's still not a Baal Mum. That's what the Chachamim hold. This could also fit with, you know, we were talking a few times already about the Alter Rebbe's Shitta, that the external ear of an animal, there's really no mumim that it's subject to, only the internal cartilage. Maybe that fits with this also. We see over here, even if the ears are dramatically different in size, it's still not considered a mumim. Okay. Fine. Mishnah says, Znav egel she'enem agas la'avu. Suppose that the tail of a calf does not reach the knee joint. And which joint we mean, we'll see in the Gemara.
Because
it's too short. Omru Chachamim, so the Chachamim said, Kol Marbis Agolim Kain, that is how it is when calves grow. Kol Zman, Shiyur Magadlin, Henim Tochas. As they grow, the tail gets longer and longer. So Rashi learns that the Chachamim are explaining what Rav Chanina ben Antigonus is saying. Rav Chanina ben Antigonus is saying that if the tail is too short at the moment, and the Chachamim are saying, you know why that is? Because even when a calf is young, its tail is obviously shorter than when it's an adult, but it still always reaches the arkov, it still always reaches at least this joint. Therefore, if it doesn't, it would be considered a mum.
So it should reach what?
So it has to reach the knee joint, which we're going to see in the Gemara, means the upper knee joint, the one between the thigh bone and the shin bone.
The first joint,
right? Right. So according to Rashi, the Chachamim are agreeing that this is a mum because you never have any time during a calf's life when the tail is going to be shorter than that. And if you do, therefore, then consider a mum. The Rambam understands it the other way around. The Rambam, in fact, does not bring this as a mum. So he understands, apparently, that the Chachamim are disagreeing and saying, no, there's no problem if a calf's tail is so short that it doesn't reach the first joint. That's fine. When calves are young, that's often how it is, that their tails are short. As they get older, their tails grow longer. Well, so in other words, according to him, it wouldn't be considered a mum because, okay, you know, it starts out short. Ezu Alkuv Sha'amru, which Alkuv, which joint are we talking about? Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, remember, Alkuv Shav Emsa Yotzeh Yav Tu. Remember, we learned in Cholin that an animal's leg has three segments.
Alkuv means what, the joint?
Alkuv means the joint.
So there's the hip.
So forget about the hip, though. You have, there's the knee joint, and there's the knee joint, and there's the ankle joint, right.
So we talk about the ankle.
So that's what we have to figure out. Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, remember, Alkuv Shav Emsa Yotzeh. It means the joint in the middle. It means the joint that's in the middle of the thigh, which the Gemara explains. Tana, we learn in a Braisa, kefa te'elyon. It means the upper joint, the one between the thigh bone and the shin bone. Veloy kefa ta'tachton. It doesn't mean the lower joint between the shin bone and the lower bone over there. That's the one above the hooves. Here. So 1 second. Oh, connected, but gomel nicker, that joint is noticeable in a camel. So here you have a picture of a camel, for example, so you can see the upper joint, the knee joint, is very clearly visible. It's not hidden within the body.
Right.
If you look at cattle, for example, you don't clearly see that joint because it's hidden within the thickness of the body.
Okay.
So therefore, so we mean that joint, we don't mean this joint down here. We don't mean the ankle, we don't mean what's the anatomical equivalent of a human being's ankle joint, we mean the anatomical equivalent of a human being's knee joint. So if the tail doesn't reach that point, then the Mishnah is saying that's considered a mum. Again, according to Rashi, the Chachamim agree with that, and according to the Rambam, the Chachamim disagree with that.
The Chachamim say where?
The Chachamim would say, it doesn't matter, even if it's shorter than that, as long as it has the necessary number of vertebrae, as we said before. Okay. Fine. So the Mishnah says, Al-Elu Mumin Shechnes Abachar, for any of the preceding Mumim, you're able to Shech the Abachar, Upsulay Makdoshin, Niftin Aleihin, and for any of the previous Mumim, you can redeem other animals of Kodshim from Hekdesh. The Gemara says, "Ha tu lomli." Why do we need the Mishnah to say this? We've been listing. We said to begin with, at the beginning of the parak, we said, "Al elu woman shef in the tabachor." So why do we need to repeat that? We said at the beginning of the parak that for the following woman you can check the bechor, and we just had a list of several dozen women. The reason is sefer itzuricha. The reason why we need to say it in our Mishnah is because of the sefer, what we said, psulei amakdash and niftin aleihem. Now you're also, these are the mumim for which you can be poured to any other animal of any other animal that would that would have been brought to the korban. So the Gemara says, "Hanami pshita." Isn't that also obvious? Nishchat shechtin. And if we're even able to shecht the bechor for these mumim, and we're not over on shechtin kodshim bechot, niftin ale nifrak nivoya. How much more so that we could be poured to them, which is not an issur koris, where there's no issur koris involved. Ella, no, we have to answer differently. I did tana shloisha hoisis because we had before Ila added three mumim. But Amrulo le Shemaynerus Elu, and the Chachamim said to him, "We did not hear of these," which might mean that they disagreed with him. And the Katani de Osi di Chida, the Katani de Osi di Chida, and then we continued mentioning various other mumim that were mentioned by only one Tana. We had Rav Chanina ben Gamliel's list. We had Rav Chanina ben Antignus's list. So is the halacha like them or not? So, therefore, we're now told, because Sosim Lobakulu, so now we have a Stam Mishnah that tells us about all of them. Al Elum Sosim means a Stam Mishnah. Al Elum Mumin Sheikhness Abachor, Psalam Akash Nifdin Alain. So, yes, it includes all those ones that Rav Hanan ibn Gamliel said. It includes all those ones that Rav Hanan ibn Antigonus said. Fine, it doesn't include Rabbi Yehuda's, where one testicle was twice as big as the other, because fine, we say clearly over there the Chacham disagreed with him. But implicitly, all the other ones that Rav Hanan ibn Antigonus and Rav Hanan ibn Gamliel mentioned, the Chachamim do agree with them, and therefore we have a Stam Mishnah telling us that all of those are considered more. So that's the purpose of our mission. So that includes, we said, for example, where you have the tail of a goat is too short, or the tail of a goat resembles the tail of a pig, or it has a wart of some kind in its eye, or if it has a chip out of one of the bones, and it's all these things that we mentioned in the last couple of Mishnayos. So we're saying, even though you would think it's only a daf yochid, maybe the Chachamim disagree with all of them. No, they don't. The halacha is like that. Okay. Mishnah says, now, though, the following conditions, you cannot shecht the animal for them, not in the mikdash, meaning you can't bring them as a korban, but on the other hand, they're not considered a baal mum that you can shecht the bechor. So they would be as follows. Number one, chavaru v'hamayim she'en and kvorim. Number one, if the animal has a chavaru, which we said before is white dots in the eye, white dots in the pupil or the iris of the eye, where it's not kavua, where we said it has to be there for 80 days and it's not considered a mum, so if it's not permanent, then it's not yet. Also v'hamayim, also we said over there if the animal is constantly tearing, but we said that we had the whole regimen over there they have to follow in order to try and cure the animal with the fresh grass and the dry grass, etc. So if that's not kavua, then you can't bring it to the korban, but you can't shecht it outside of this mikdash either. Also, v'chutin apnimiyas shenifkmu, if the inner gums or the inner molars or whatever the different explanations of chutin that we had before, if they were shenifkmu, if they were nicked, but they weren't actually uprooted, they weren't actually removed from the mouth, they were just nicked, then that's not, they were broken, but they're not actually yet, so that wouldn't be considered a mum yet. Ubal gorav ubal yabelas, another one would be if the animal has a gorav or a yabelas, which are various kinds of skin conditions that we'll talk about in the Gemara. Ubal chazazis, another one is if the animal has a chazazis, which is another gorav and chazazis, it actually just says it's generically mine shchin, they're types of skin eruptions. We'll talk about in the Gemara in more detail what they are exactly. Yabelas we had before is where it has a bone in it. If it doesn't, then it's not considered a wart. Also zokin, if the animal is old. Some of the Rishonim say that old just means that it's old, as in it's more than a certain number of years old. The Rambam understands old in the sense it's so old that like it trembles when it stands, like it's too weak to be able to stand unaided, basically. V'chola, or if the animal is sick. Or mezuham, or if the animal is smelly. Now, you know, we city folk think that all animals are smelly, but you have, you know, people who raise animals, there's a normal smell that they have, and there's, I guess, like a not normal, so yeah, like a, maybe if they have a fungal infection, maybe, I don't know, whatever it might be, exactly, but yeah. So those things are possible as a korban, but they're not considered a mum as far as shechting a bechor for them. Also, v'shenevda by avera, also if an avera was done with them, meaning that they were used for bestiality, or the Shehemis Adam, then they're possible for a carbon, but you can't check the Bukhar for that. The Shehemis Adam al Pi Eda Echad or al Pi Abaylim, or if the animal killed a person, but there was only one witness, or there was only, and that applies to the reveal also, actually, as the Gemara is going to point out, if there were two Adim, that there was sodomy, then it gets skill anyway. And if there were two Adim that killed somebody, then also it gets skill. So either of these things, there was only one aid, Oyapia Bailim, or the owner himself came to Beis Din and admitted that this was done with it. Also, the tumtum vandroginus. Also, if the animal is a tumtum, where its genitals are covered up with a membrane, you can't tell if it's a male or a female, or an androgynous, where it has... It means cover. Tumtum aloshin metamtum alev vanmoyak. Covers up, it conceals, yeah. That's a tumtum. The androgynous, or an animal that has the genitals of both, male and female. So all of those, loiva mikdash, loiva medina, all of those you cannot bring as a korban in the bis mikdash, and you can't check them outside of the bis mikdash.
But what do you do with them? In
other words, the same thing as if the bechor never has a mum at all. So you can't, but you just have to wait till it develops a mum. None of these things in the Mishnah are considered mum, or at least they're not permanent. Reb Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, says on the side, says, Ein lachal mum gadol mizeh. He disagrees on the case of the androgynous, that he says there's no greater mum than that, because effectively what you have is the area where the female genitals are is considered a mum, he says, because a male animal normally shouldn't have something over there. So therefore, he says there's no greater mum than that. So yes, you could shecht it as a baal mum. The Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, a third opinion, Einai Bechor, an animal that is an androgynous is not even considered a Bechor at all. Elam Nigzas V'Nevad, you're allowed to shear it, you're allowed to work with it. It has no Kedushas Bechor at all. It's cool. So we have three opinions in the Mishnah regarding an androgynous. The Tanakama, who says that it's not considered a mum, so therefore you have to wait till it develops some other mum. Reb Shimon or Rabbi Shmuel saying it is considered to have a mum. And the Chachamim say it's not even considered a Bechor. So therefore, whether it has a mum or not, is a moot point. Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. The Gorov loy, you're telling me in the Mishnah that if the animal has a Gorov, that it's not considered a mum. What do you mean? Boxiv Gorov Varaisa. The Pasuk mentions among mumim of Koyanim, it mentions, actually in connection with mumim of animals, it says the word Gorov. So we're going to define soon. We're going to define Gorov as some kind of skin eruption, but we're going to see soon what it is. So it says Gorov clearly in the Torah, it should be considered a mum. And the chazazis loy, you're telling me also if the animal has a chazazis, it's not a mum. Roksiv yalefes v'oraisa. The Torah mentions among the mumim yalefes, v'tanya, and we learn in a braisa, Gorov zeh hacheres. The word Gorov refers to cheres, which Rashi explains as shchin shekoshek cheres. It's a skin disease that is hard like earthenware. So some kind of callus like skin or whatever. And yalefes zuchazozes hamitzvus, and the yalefes that's mentioned in the pasuk. No, that was yabelus. We talked about whether it had a bone in it before. No, gorov would be some kind of skin condition where the skin in that area becomes dry.
So it's as hard as a cheres. That's very hot.
Okay, so that's what it means. In other words, that you have some kind of skin condition over there that makes a very hard spot on the skin. Yeah. And so that's Gorov. And Yalefet Zuchazozis Hamitzus. And when the Pasuk mentions Yalefet, this refers to Chazozis Hamitzus, which Rashi explains as the type of shchin that the Mitzrayim suffered from in the sixth Maka. And the Amr Shlokish Lomanikra Shma Yalefis. Shlokish says, why is that skin condition called Yalefis? Shemalafefis Bahilachis Adyama Misa. Because it's attached to the person. Malafefis means attached. And it continues on the person or on the animal until it dies. In other words, there's no cure for it. But therefore, so Gorov and Yalefis are clearly mumim. It says them in the Torah. Those are the same as the Gorov and the Chazazis of our Mishnah. On the face of it. So why is our Mishnah saying they're not considered mumim? Malachefes is Meloshin attached. No, Meloshin attached. Attached. Rashi brings from a pasuk by Yechaber, the Aramaic translation. Targum Onkelos, the Aramaic translation for attached is Velachis. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so what is it? It's Gorov and Gorov and Yalefes, which is the same as Gorov and Chazazis, apparently are women. What is the mission telling us not? So Bishlema Chazazis, Achazazis like Kashas. Okay, I can say there's no contradiction between the two cases of Chazazis, because you could say Kan b'Chazazis Hamitzvus, Kan b'Chazazis Dalma. Because you could say there's the kind of Chazazis that the Egyptians suffered from, that's considered a mum, and then you have a regular kind of Chazazis, which is a different kind of boil or whatever, which isn't considered a mum. Fine, so that one's straightforward. El Gorov Agorov Kasha, but don't you have a contradiction with Gorov, where we said that the Pasuk mentions Gorov, our Mishnah also mentions Gorov, and the Pasuk mentions it as a mum, and our Mishnah is saying it's not a mum. So the answer is Gorov Agorov Nami Le Kasha. There's also no contradiction with the two Gorovs, because Habalach Habayavish, because one is talking about a moist one, and one is talking about a dry one. Lach Itzi, a moist one can eventually, a moist Gorov can eventually heal. Yavish loymitzi, but a dry one is not going to heal. So our Mishnah that says that it's not considered a mum would be talking about a moist one. The pasuk is talking about a dry one. So the question is, v'lach mitzi, you're telling me that a moist Gorov can eventually heal? V'aktiv, but you have in the Toichacha in Parshas Ki Savai, it says Yakacha Hashem b'shchin Mitzrayim. It says Hashem will strike you with the shchin of the Egyptians, and the pasuk continues over there that you'll also suffer from Gorov. It actually says over there too, uva gorov uva cheres, it says in the pasuk, that you'll suffer from gorov, and the person will suffer from gorov and cheres. U midichtiv uva chores. Now, since it mentions cheres, and we said that cheres means a hard one, it's hard like earthenware, then obviously hare gorov lach omer, so gorov in that pasuk obviously has to be the moist kind. Because if cheres is the dry one, then by elimination, gorov must be the dry one. And the pasuk continues that it won't be able to be healed. So a gorov is so a moist gorov is also not is also not curable. So why should that not be considered a mum? No, we have to say like this. There's three kinds of gorov. Dikra yobesh maybe mifnim ben machos. The one mentioned in the pasuk is dry on the outside and it's also dry on the inside under the skin. So therefore, that's not going to heal. And if you have such a thing in a mum, it would be considered a full-fledged mum. Dimas nifin lach mevachotz mufnim. The kind that's mentioned in our Mishnah, which is not considered a mum, is where it's moist on the outside, above the skin, and on the inside, below the skin surface. So that's going to heal. Lach on both sides. Dimitzrayim, the kind they had in Mitzrayim, yobish mufnim v'lach mevachotz. That kind was dry on the inside and moist on the outside. And we know that, because the pasuk describes it by his shchin of avoyes pereach ba'adam. The pasuk describes it that it was boiled, that avoyes, which actually explains meloshin nevea, meloshin that it's oozing, so it was moist on the outside, but ba'adam of abahema on people and on animals. No, that's it was moist on the outside, above the skin surface. So, yeah, there's pus coming out of it, in other words. Under the skin it was dry. So that kind is also not curable. Rashi on the Pesukim explains, actually, we have to stop here for Meir, but Rashi on the Pesukim explains that what it is, in other words, so we have, the Gemara is mentioning over here, there's different kinds of Gorov. What it really is the Pesuk will use the word Gorov differently depending on the context. If you're talking in the context of a different one, which is dry on the inside and the outside, then the word Gorov will be used for something that's moist on at least the outside, to make a distinction. In other words, when you have in the pasuk in Parashat Kisava, Gorov or Cheres, and we're saying that Cheres means the one that's dry inside and outside, then Gorov has to mean something different, and therefore it means the kind that's moist on the kind that's moist on the outside.
If
you have Cheres over there, yeah. On the other hand, when you have it mentioned together with when you have it mentioned in connection with Yalefes, which is that, then Gorov will mean the kind that's moist on the outside and dry on the inside, or moist on the outside and on the inside.
Gorov with cheres would be one kind, which would be
the kind which is moist on the outside, as opposed to cheres, which is completely dry on both sides. And when it's in connection with Yalefes, then it'll mean the kind that's moist under that's moist under the skin, which therefore it'll heal.
And outside
it can be, and outside also.